criticism against your government, but I think that he's open enough that I hope he will hear this call from all of us to not focus development on these big mega projects, on these extractive projects, to not copy the right-wing projects. Those are projects that were developed for making money for a few people. The Balao Dam was proposed by the son-in-law of the former dictator, Bansit. And the son-in-law is now wanted for all sorts of crimes he committed. He's hiding. And we should reconsider it. Does someone like that propose something that's good for us? Obviously not. So I'm asking Evo, from the bottom of my heart, humbly, please reconsider these projects. The sugar refinery, the Bala Dam, the dam in Cachuela Esperanza, and other projects like that are not what's good for our development.
Rosa Maria,
a manifesto for...
And stay tuned next for Bathroom Spears Broadside. Sorry for the abrupt ending of Democracy Now! It is also still available, of course, at www.democracynow.org. You are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz or Freak Radio Santa Cruz. And as mentioned before, coming up next is Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Stay tuned.
Should be crowned by laurels, now oak-grown with fool's cap. Photographers, donkeys, hats and blinders, losers, weeds, keepers, finders, everybody's good intention. Auction dog at the convention, revolution on vacation, offered speech and supplication, governed into resignation from its universal station. Unify, not purify. That was your old-time slogan. Romance, high hopes, seduced in Miami by a boy named George, not from Alabama. Lady politicians, I'm looking for a change, but a bit better on back home on the range. Fella dressed by the house and garden was pacified by a baker part. Glory's born in a shade and sweater. Oh, she never looked better. Revolution gone vacation. All the speeches of vacation governed into resignation from its universal station. Unify, not purify. That was your final slogan. California challenge was about California's not home free on the border. Now people left their borders. Every man's vote must be chosen. State of California, 56% ignored. Pick out the candidate, 15 hours. Pick out a running mate. I'm sticking 1,000%. 10 days, time win. Revolution, all on vacation. Offer speeches of vacation. Covered into resignation from its universal station. Unify, not purify. That was your final slogan.
That was Revolution on Vacation from John Phillips' album Jack of Diamonds. He was one of the mamas and the papas, and then he did his own stuff. And that was from the early 70s, re-released after his death, I think. But originally these numbers were recorded in 72 and 73, perhaps in different versions. So, as mentioned before, you are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1 FM. www.freakradio.org. And I'm Robert Norse. The name of the show is Bathroom Spears Broadside, so welcome to the show. I'll be here for 2 hours, playing a lot of street interviews, hopefully fielding some of your calls. And the phone number here, in case you decide to call in, is, grab your pencils, 831, that's our area code, 831-427-3772, 427-3772, 427-FRSC, because we are Freak Radio Santa Cruz. So call in at 427-3772 if you have any comments or thoughts, criticisms, commendations, you name it. We're here, you're there, and maybe we can both be in the same spot if you get in touch. I don't have any special guest plan for this show, my Sunday show, which will be coming up between 9:30 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon on Sunday. We'll have Tom Noddy, or Travelin' Tom as I call him, famous, world-famous bubble guy, who will be doing some fine bubbling in the studio. I'll be, of course, it'll be an incredible radio bubble show. And actually, no, he will be talking about his other career as an activist supporting street performers in Santa Cruz, both at the current time, as the attacks on singers and performers downtown increases, and in the olden days, in 1977, when he was living in his vehicle in Santa Cruz, Vandorf, it was called, and he supported and was a key organizer with the Scott Creek Bluff Group in the longest misdemeanor trial in municipal court in Santa Cruz history. And I played a little bit of that a couple Sundays ago, an interview I did with him 20 years ago on that subject. He's going to be in the studio to update us and to correct us and to fill in some of the gaps, because I only had some of that interview. That's going to be at 11:30 on Sunday. I'm also hoping to hear from Fresno activist Al Williams, who is in the middle of struggles after winning a successful $2.3 million lawsuit, he and other homeless people, to stop the seizure and destruction of homeless property in Fresno. We in Santa Cruz should be so lucky. We haven't got that right yet to have homeless property secure. He is going to be talking about a variety of things. I imagine the ongoing homeless encampments in Fresno that continue under the freeways, some of them supported by the last remaining medical marijuana supporter, or actually distributor in Fresno, who is funding porta potties and garbage cans and trash pickups, I believe all three, for homeless folks there, unlike our fine upper middle class marijuana moguls here in Santa Cruz, who are helping the city council to freeze out all other medical marijuana providers and doing nothing about the ongoing war on medical marijuana and ordinary marijuana users that continues unabated in Santa Cruz with an increase in arrests. Just as it's happening nationally, it's also happening that way in Santa Cruz. You don't stop fanatics by, going home and smoking a doobie yourself alone, or even by joining with a bunch of people on 420 and doing it up on campus for one day. I did get one report from Cynthia Kennedy, the woman who came up on the show, came to us on, I guess it was last Thursday, and she was again on the show last Sunday talking about Officer Azua's brutal treatment of her for simply asserting her right to be in public spaces. Azua decided he wanted her to leave. She refused. Then he decided to demand ID and harass her, though he had no charge to charge her with. She declined. Then he threw her to the ground, and he or one of the fellow officers pulled dread out of her hair, took her to jail, and charged her with resisting arrest with no underlying charge. She was held for 3 days. This is all according to her account. At least this is what she says. And I haven't heard Officer Azua's story. I haven't run into him. Of course, if I do, hopefully I will get the other side of the story. I expect he'll just get a big grin, and he'll turn away. But who knows? Maybe Officer Azua will be more forthcoming. Anyway, in any case, Cynthia Kennedy had another story for us today. She apparently was on campus, she said, for the 420 celebration 2 days ago, and she had her service dog with her. And her service dog, which, give credit where it's due, the Santa Cruz Police Department is generally being a little more lenient around service dogs, or let's just say lawful around service dogs, which you're allowed to have, and you're not allowed to intensively question people who have service animals. You can't demand extensive documentation and expect it to happen. And according to the Americans, I'm told, according to people who have these dogs, with the Americans with Disabilities Act, and there's also, of course, the middle class push by the Downtown Association to legalize dogs on the mall if they are I don't know, the right kind of dog. Actually, let's see if I can remember. There were some limitations. They have to be on a leash. They have to be properly licensed and so forth. And I don't know if you can sit with your dog on the mall or in a group of two or three. I'm not sure. But in any case, there's a reason that officers may be going more lightly on dogs downtown. But up at campus, Cynthia Kennedy informs me, talked to me actually just about half an hour ago, that she was going to the 420 celebration, was confronted by a cop. I assume it was a UCSC officer, maybe not, maybe one of the allied agencies called in to deal with the menace of marijuana smokers. She said that they gave her the option of either taking a ticket and continuing on campus with her service animal or leaving campus and not getting a ticket. Of course, that kind of alternative is unconstitutional. She's either violating the law or she's not. And she's not violating the law if she's got a service animal on campus. I can pretty confidently say that, although I haven't examined what bizarre regulations UCSC has around that. I know they claim to have only three free speech zones. I suppose that's not a lot more bizarre than Santa Cruz, which has two. Although in Santa Cruz, if you have public sidewalks, you do, in theory, have the courts on your side because the public sidewalks are supposed to be open to all manner of people doing all manner of things, provided they're not stabbing or throwing things that are, you know, lethal at you or whatever. But in Santa Cruz, as we know, 95% of the sidewalks have been made illegal to sit on, to street perform on with a display device, to panhandle on, however peacefully, however silently, and or to politically table at as part of the Downtown Association's creeping privatization drive, which has gained force through the recent panhandler meter hoax that the city council passed last Tuesday, or a week ago Tuesday. And that's something I've talked about before. Anyway, so Kennedy got this citation, apparently, which hopefully will be thrown out by the courts, but you never can tell. Looks like we have a phone call here. Let's see who's on the line. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Hello. Hi, Robert. This is Uncle Dennis.
Hey, Dennis, you got an announcement for us, or is this a secret and private information for me?
No, I have a webpage here, University of California Police Department, Pet and Animals, Non-Research Animals on Campus Policy, huh. SPS 0005, updated on October 31st, 2003. Dogs and cats are prohibited from the USCSC campus unless specifically exempted. Exemptions are granted for animals which assist people with disabilities, are used by the police department, or are used in education or research projects. Animals exempted under this policy shall be issued a permit and registered with the campus animal control officer and vaccinated against rabies and distemper prior to being brought on campus.
Doesn't sound constitutional, the Americans with Disabilities Act, because...
Well, I'm just letting you know what the UCSC policy is, and
right.
Anyway, that's their published
policy. Give me that number again, Dennis, so I can pass it on to all dog lovers everywhere.
The policy is SPS 0005.
SPS 0005. Yeah, I mean, I would think that, you know, people with disabilities shouldn't have to go register their dog before going to a public event on campus. I don't think that is appropriate. And this is a public event. But, you know, thank you for the information, Dennis. And, you know, may the doggies be with you.
Thank you, Robert. Bye.
Bye-bye. And Uncle Dennis, who I think is probably even more of an animal lover than I am, because he's an Earth First kind of guy, and Earth includes a lot of animals. He will be coming on the show. His show will start at 8 o'clock, and that will be, of course, From the Cream to the Dregs. And I invite people to tune in for that. You can hear archaic music of the most delightful kind if you're into the 60s and 70s, as well as updates on the latest depredations against the environment by the Obama regime and its allied agencies. Here's another phone call coming in. Hi there, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert. This is David from New Jersey calling in.
Oh, how you doing there, New Jersey man?
Good. First of all, say your shows, the past few shows that I have listened to, download from the archives have been excellent, man. Really good. The Tom Noddy is his account of the trial. And I think it was 1977, was it?
Yeah, the Scott Cook
Bluff
really
trial. Good stuff, man. He's a really good storyteller.
he's legendary.
Yeah, he's awesome. Also, this I mentioned that on one of my other calls that I'm a bus driver, and if I ever questioned a person with a service animal, if I ever second guessed anybody with. Who tried to bring or who wanted to bring a service animal onto my bus, I mean, my ass would be fired, man, right away.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of shocked to hear that these police officers are actually giving people a hard time.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, the Cynthia Kennedy, who you probably also heard on the air, is a pretty forthright woman. She doesn't seem like a very violent or angry woman. She seems pretty determined, pretty calm, but insistent and persistent about her rights. And she's also very counterculture looking. She's tall. She's got dreads. She's clad in, you know, old clothing.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, that could be one of the reasons she gets singled out, although the UCSC police are sort of notorious for being even worse than the Santa Cruz Police Department, which in many respects is not the most liberal department. Well, who knows? Compared to the New Jersey police, they may be much more liberal. I don't know how the New Jersey police are these days, so can't tell you.
I haven't really had too much contact with them, but her story was her account of her experience there when she was arrested was actually scary, man.
Yeah, it is, and we'll of course learn if they're actually going to file charges against her for resisting arrest, but not tell us what the arrest was for. One of the favorite tactics of the Santa Cruz Police, probably other police departments too. I'm really surprised that that is, and I probably need to research, you know, how that can be upheld without an underlying charge. But apparently, a different, you know, it may have been in different cases. I appreciate your call. Anything more you want to add?
That's it. Just the I just want to know. I couldn't remember on the other interview that you did. It was really good. I listened to your show when I'm driving, actually.
Listen, you got to play it on you got to play it on the loudspeaker for all the people on the bus.
Yeah, I should really, because the past 3 or 4 shows have been really good.
Boy, you're going to go to my head, man, with all this praise. That's great. Well, listen, call in again if you got more, because I'll be doing some interviews. You may have some thoughts, and feel free to keep us updated.
Sure. All right. Thanks. Yeah, I have something to. An update about the 10th city that I mentioned here, but I got to do some research more on it. There's people were talking about it on the bus where they were going to chase the people out of the 10th city here in Camden. But I really haven't read too much about it. But if I learn some more about it, I'll let you know.
Please do. Thanks for calling in, man.
All right, thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Yep.
And, yeah. Call-in number is 831-427-3772. I appreciate the long-distance calls. Wow, it's nice to know that people are listening in different places in the world and contributing, too. I had no idea that the bus system in New Jersey treats folks with service animals that way. It may be the same here in Santa Cruz. And if any bus drivers are listening and they have information or people who know about that, please call in and let us know, because there are people with animals who are disabled who need to know that kind of information, and the rest of us also need to know so we can be supportive under these circumstances and well educated. A second thing I heard en route to the studio, I get these little bits of information, was from Shadowside Steve, the guy I've been trying to drag into the studio for months. I just can't get him in. He's made half a dozen appointments to come in and then never shows. Probably trying to live up to his moniker, Shadowside Steve, that I've imposed on him. But he said that he was down on the Santa Cruz Concrete Mall today. It used to be called the Santa Cruz Garden Mall, but that was 20 years ago. And 22 years ago, actually. And he said that the mall has been closed off, at least the street part of the mall has been closed off because they're filling potholes or repaving or, I don't know, setting up a whole sensor system underneath the streets. Who knows what they're doing? But there's seemingly a lot of road work happening. And he apparently was chatting with someone where he came upon an incident where Officer Inoue was giving a citation to a dreaded hippie person, both dreaded in the sense of having dreads and also dreadful, of course, for riding his bicycle the wrong way on the sidewalk. And, of course, since the road was no longer not passable and being worked on, I'm not quite sure what the legality of that was. Maybe it was a part of the road that it was still open. When who should come riding up but a middle-class woman on a bicycle on the sidewalk? And the police officer stopped her and said, ma'am, you can't ride your bicycle on the sidewalk. And Steve immediately interrupted, hold it, officer. You mean you're going to give this dreaded guy a ticket? You dread him, and it's a dreadful ticket. But you're going to let this middle-class woman go right ahead? And he sort of looked a little embarrassed. And I said, okay, I'll have to give you a ticket too, ma'am, he said. But then the guy with dreads said, wait a minute, don't just, you know, it's bad enough to give me a ticket. Don't give her a ticket too. So Officer Inoue said, okay, you can go. So Steve, exasperated, according to his account, said, wait a minute. Are you saying now that individuals on the sidewalk can tell you what to do, when to give tickets and when not to give them? And the officer, Inoue, of course, whose preference seems to be to avoid giving tickets to middle-class people and, has no problem giving them to individuals who aren't so middle-class looking, let me put it this way. That's my suspicion with Officer Inoue. I'm not trying to be mean to him or unfair. My last experience with him that I remember was he refused to take a report from me. I tried to cite someone in the famous Sinister Sidewalk Singing case, which is coming up again, by the way, next Tuesday. Another round in court, but I'll talk about that in a moment. But Officer Inoue was the backup officer for Officer Schoenfield, who was ticketing four of us for singing, Downtown and other subversive songs in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz on January 6th at the insistence of Sean Riley. Actually, it wasn't at his insistence. He was misinformed by Officer Schoenfield that we weren't going to sing more quietly, which we agreed to do, but Officer Schoenfield apparently didn't like our requesting to know how quietly we should sing to be legal, and she insisted that was an indication we were disputatious and therefore needed to be ticketed because we wouldn't quiet down, and please come down and give them a ticket, Mr. Citizen, if you want that done. And Citizen Riley did that. Officer Inoue was the backup officer. I asked that Riley be given a ticket himself for making a false police report, which I see there's a caller calling in, which he refused to do. And I said, why? He said, they'll turn in a report. And I said, why aren't you turning in a report on the four of us instead of giving us tickets? There was no response. He just drove off. We have a caller. Hi there, caller. You're on Free Radio with Robert alone in the studio.
Hey, Robert. And who else is that on the line?
Is there somebody else on the line?
Yes. I guess you don't hear it on the radio,
Hang on. Let me see what I can do.
She doesn't seem to be interested in what we're saying, so we'll ignore her.
How about right now? Is the voice gone?
Oh, she's gone.
Good. Well, that's good because it means that, apparently the Winamp bleeds into the rest of this show, and it's been happening in my shows, and thank you for letting me know. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, anyway, I wanted to ask if the Americans for Safe Access is having their initiatory meeting tonight.
You know, I think I'm glad you brought that up. I'm going to go straight to the I don't even think it's on the Indy Bay website. Well, maybe it is. I don't. Here it is. Americans for Safe Access, 7:15 p.m. Thanks for bringing it up. Roger Minch, who's been on this show and who has been persecuted repeatedly by D.A. Bob Lee and now by the Santa Clara County authorities, who's a founding member of the Hemporium, which is a medical marijuana collective in Felton. I'm not sure how active it is after all this persecution and prosecution. He is helping to form, according to this, a new chapter of Americans for Safe Access in Santa Cruz. Everyone is welcome. Get involved. Attend the first meeting tonight, 7:15 to 8:45 at the Loudon Nelson Center. And for those who don't know where that is, that's at Laurel and Center Streets in Santa Cruz.
Well, it sounds like a good way to celebrate 420.
I think it's a great idea.
And help make things even safer for patients, at least in Santa Cruz. It sounds like we have a lot more work to do. So, yeah, I wanted to check with that, and thank you for confirming.
Oh, just of course. Now, my knowledge is from the website, but that's certainly been posted there. And if you do go and you plan to go, Theodore.
Yeah, that's why I called.
If you feel like it, call in on Sunday if you happen to be listening and you feel like it, and give us a kind of an update, because I will not be able to make it. I've got my computer just went kafunk, and I have to go try to find another one tonight. And so but I'd love to hear what happens.
Well, Gray Bears, you can't do it tonight, but. Gray Bears has recycled and refurbished, not just recycled, refurbished computers very inexpensively.
Have you used them yourself as a service?
Yeah, I've gotten a couple there, and they do. They get them up and running and ready to go so that you're starting with some programs and, internet ready.
That's a great idea.
And you're supporting Gray Bears, and you're helping to make sure this electronic equipment gets recycled. And they wind up having to send a lot, onto the next destination. They don't just recycle stuff that's not in working order. So
people just look in the yellow pages of Gray Bears. And
they're
a
wonderful support organization for getting food to seniors. And they're pretty much a cooperative, I think.
Well, Theodore, I know that you have been active for decades in fighting against the drug war, and also for the rights of medical marijuana patients. And, we were 2 days out from 420. How did that go this year? Were you involved in any of those events?
The one I went to was the Have You Ever Been Altered event at the Kumba, which was a musical tweaking of old stoner songs, and it was perfectly delightful and captured the spirit of the day wonderfully and heartedly, and most of the folks there were in their 50s or 60s, and so therefore we're going off our 60s memories, but it was good fun.
And you will be at the ASA meeting to provide some background for those who...
Well, I'm just going to go see who else is there and catch up a little myself on the trials and tribulations that others have been having to go through.
Give folks my regards. And
for folks who don't know who are listening, ASA is probably the premier patient support organization. They've, in California, I think they're national, but they've done a lot in terms of making it safer to transport and use this plant, because they're the ones who've gone to court and got the CHP to back off of their taking patients' medicine when they're stopped for a traffic ticket, and they've won some other very serious court cases that have more firmly established a patient's right to have their marijuana and have it returned if they're wrongfully busted. So this is a good organization that Roger is trying to get give a foothold into our community.
And that's 45 minutes from now at the Loudoun Nelson Center. I've got you hooked here on the line, maybe. Let me ask you one more thing, Theodora.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the legalized marijuana initiative that made the ballot? I know three of them didn't, and the fourth, because it was so well-funded by the Oaksterdam folks, did. I've heard both positive and negative about it, and I was listening yesterday or a few days ago to an attorney on KGO claiming that he had a medical marijuana or maybe just a drug lawyer on talking about the fact that the initiative does have ambiguous definitions of space. So you could be, at the top floor of a building, and if there's a child in the basement in an apartment building, that could be a basis for banning marijuana everywhere in the building. And then secondly, it increases penalties for giving away marijuana to, let's say, a 20-year-old, if you share a joint with someone, that there are some, and also, of course, provides a veto to local authorities around marijuana distribution centers. That I don't know if any of these things are accurate. Those were the claims made by the KGO attorney. Have you got any insight into that?
I haven't read. Are you still there?
Yes.
I haven't read the full bill, but I will vote for it because it is an important step at an important time in the right direction. And the bottom line is all the activity that's going on now is still going to go on, and the more we normalize marijuana as a legitimate choice for people to use in their lives, the more the cops back off on any of this you know, nitpicking, it doesn't become worth their while
for sure.
Use law enforcement to, mm-hmm. You know, in this area. So every step forward, and especially this is a good one because it does allow for us to grow personal use amounts and to possess personal use amounts.
So it's a little ambiguous.
And, you know, discretion is always 9/10 of avoiding the law. You know, even if you're doing something legal, if you don't want to deal with law enforcement, be discreet. So
you're talking to one of the more indiscreet guys, but that's probably good advice, Theodora.
Yeah. So I'm not going to sweat the small stuff on this. I think the overall big picture they're going for is that holding on to people's personal rights to use, just like with legalized alcohol, that we can, you know, make our own wines and our own beers and do our own thing in our home. And I think any law that does not safeguard our right for home growing and personal, you know, use and personal using in our home and making our candies and cookies or whatever, anything that makes it like cigarettes where only the big guys get to sell them, those are the laws we got to watch out for.
For sure, but I guess I'm a little concerned that because another thing that was mentioned was that they're limiting severely the amount of marijuana you can grow and then the amount of marijuana you can possess. But, you know, we'll talk about that more.
It's a start, yeah. And again, once it becomes, you know, once it becomes a regular thing in people's gardens, you're not going to have cops coming around, you know, unless you're really trying to go in the corporate model.
Mm.
You know, they're not going to nitpick over 10 or 20 or, you know, I mean... it just doesn't become cost-effective.
Right. The other issue is, of course, that they're raising penalties on some things, which is another issue. But we'll talk about that as we get closer to the election.
Again, discretion.
And discretion, yes. Well, in the meantime, people can discreetly wander over to the ASA meeting at Loudoun Nelson Center at 7:15 tonight, and they'll see you there.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And phone lines are open, 427-3772. This is Bathrop Spears Broadsides. My show covers a variety of issues from marijuana use to police abuse to homeless attempts to sleep without being arrested under the city's anti-homeless sleeping ban after 11 o'clock at night. It's a crime to sleep on any public property, even though there's shelter for... Actually, zilch tonight. Zilch emergency walk-in shelter for 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people. We have another caller. Yo, you're on Free Radio with Robert.
Yay!
Drummer Dave. Drummer Dave is drumming a thing of the past? What's going on here?
Hey, what's going on, man?
I know. I've heard that the drum circle has been supplanted by a huge number of for-profit little farmer's market kiosks that have sort of taken over the scene. Is that true?
Well, I wouldn't call them farmer's market. I wouldn't call them...
Well, what'd you call them?
Farmers. I'd call them entrepreneurs.
Entrepreneurs. There you go. It's the American way.
I'd call them pottery. I'd call them knife sharpers.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You and I saw each other, kind of waved at each other yesterday, I guess it was, and the farmer's market expanded to take over the entire parking lot number 4, where the drum circle for 10 years had previously, I guess, there and a couple other spots, but mostly in that spot, been situated. That's the Wednesday afternoon drum circle in downtown Santa Cruz. And I wrote a little something about it on the Santa Cruz Indie Media for those who want to go to indybay.org/Santa Cruz, and you can find an article on the farmer's market, and there's some photos, and there's also my thoughts, and there are a lot of people saying, yeah, we're glad those drummers are gone, yeah. So the drummers aren't gone, though. You moved sort of to the next block, right?
Yeah, we just moved just right up the street where a guy was sleeping.
And when you woke the guy, wait a minute, now hold it.
From Jack's Burgers.
I hope you didn't wake up the guy. That could be unreasonably disturbing noise.
Yeah, I guess we did kind of drum him away.
Well, you know, that's one of the problems with you, you questionable musicians. You run around harassing people downtown, and you wonder why people don't like you.
And, yeah, well, we did wake up a sleeping gentleman, we did. But he didn't seem to mind, really.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But we did mind the fact that it was, but now we were treating the farmers, well, the entrepreneurs, I should say, not farmers, coffee salesmen, make you a cup of coffee. And those were in the original farmer's market, but all of what I saw was just an expansion of and push certain people into the parking lot for, which was a few falafel makers and a bunch of knife sharpeners, masseuses, craftsmen, and pottery sellers, things like that.
So would you say these are low-income people that you are, you know, sympathetic with? Would you say these are more corporate people, somebody, so a mixture of folks?
I'd say it was people that need to make some money.
Right. So, I mean, we all need
to
survive.
So, like, if Food Not Bombs showed up, which I thought was going to be funny if it did, was they would be giving away free food while people are trying to sell food. So that wouldn't have worked.
Well,
don't you think, Rob?
Of a different kind than the kind that was being sold, I guess, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, but if they brought coffee, there was someone selling coffee there. They did bring coffee yesterday to where we were.
Yeah, there are a number of groups that actually bring items to the that were bringing items to the Wednesday Drum Circle. There's Rene Curry, who brings sort of sometimes burritos. She has a chess set she sets up and sometimes some clothing. And there's, I guess, two guys who bring coffee. And then there's Food Not Bombs that bring a lot of, you know, food items. Joe Schultz on occasion brings soup, though usually that's when there are political protests happening. And all that is now going to have to move to a smaller space, apparently, right, it was at, right outside former Badass Coffee parking lot there, right across from Jack's, the hamburger joint, right?
Yeah, right across from Jack's in that little planter that's, you know, almost as big as the Drum Circle planter. And it was a lot warmer and nicer, and that might be the place. That's our secondary setup right there, Rob.
Well, I know the police drove by, and I'm told that there was no harassment. Is that accurate?
Very accurate. There was no harassment. We played till dark, and we had a good time, and no one came over. But we will be at the Drum Circle next week because we hear this is a temporary maneuver.
Well, it's interesting. I talked to Joe Schultz, who was catering this event. You know, he was actually, I guess, catering those booths, not for poor people, but for people who have money, and or not a lot of money, but who are purchasing items there. And he told me that he thought that this was going to be a fairly permanent expansion, though it wasn't clear how far. Whether I mean, this is also an anniversary event. Apparently, it's the 10th anniversary or the 15th anniversary or the 20th anniversary of the farmers market. And the
not ones, the Drum Circle, though.
Not the Drum Circle, no, but the farmers market. And that's why they took over the entire parking lot number 4, which you may also remember has been turned into a pay parking lot as of early April. That it also became you have to pay to park there as part of the city's.
But they weren't paying to park there yesterday.
Well, they probably paid for the permit, and they probably paid the organization for the right to set up their little businesses there.
Right. That's
so,
exactly what it was.
His point, I think, was that next week there will be some expansion. He's not sure if it's going to take over the entire lot, but if they expand just one row, that's going to take over the area that the Drum Circle traditionally uses.
That's correct.
So that'll be interesting to see what happens. Perhaps.
We're keeping tabs on it, but we're making sure that we don't make anyone mad, Rob.
Of course. We don't want to offend nobody.
You know, because some guy getting a massage, you know, with a bunch of drums playing right next to him probably wouldn't be too relaxing, so.
If somebody wants to sleep, I don't think any discussion whatsoever would be appropriate. Possibly everyone should just walk in hushed voices by and, you know, say very little.
Exactly. Exactly. But I think the sleeper that we went to where the planner was, I think he understood that that is where we could only play.
Well, I'm being sarcastic. I think if people want to sleep, they have to
accommodate
the rest of us.
But thanks for stopping by yesterday and taking that interview with Brent, which was a real great appearance. I was surprised he was there.
Yeah, Brent Adams, of course, is I call him Big Drum Brent because he has the biggest drum in town. It's this huge, 50-gallon
plastic blue drum.
Plastic trash can or something that he plays downtown. And I do have an interview with him. I hope I'll be playing it today. If not, I'll hopefully be playing it on Sunday. I seem to run out of time with all this stuff, so I'm going to cut you off and start playing some interviews.
Cut me off to D, Santa Cruz, and A, Rob, you take care, man.
You too, man. Bye-bye. Phone lines are still open, 427-3772, and if you go quickly, I will put you on before I play this next bit of tape. I'm going to actually go back to an earlier time in March, because I want to catch up with some past interviews, and then I will jump ahead here, there, and everywhere as I attempt to play interviews that should have been played and haven't, and so forth. So let's do that.
Talking with Cadillac, you know, I heard that President Obama likes potheads. Is that true?
I don't know, and I don't care. But what I'm interested in knowing is, what do you think of Santa Cruz, and how are the police treating you?
Well, they know I got 2 tickets lately for alcohol. They know I'm wanted. They said, get lost.
I see. But here you are, still hanging in there.
Yeah, I'm not in jail.
No. How long have you been in Santa Cruz?
Which time?
This time. You're shaking your head.
Yeah. I think your radio station is full of shit.
There you go. It's good. Anything else you want to tell us before
you... let me talk on it.
You're talking on it right now,
no,
mister.
Let me get out in front. Let me talk tonight.
I'm not on tonight, man. I can't do that.
I said, I think your radio station's full of shit.
Well, thank you for your opinion, sir.
We've
been listening to Cadillac and the informed opinions of the street.
The antenna self-destruct.
You heard it here first.
I'm down here at the drum circle on March 24th, actually sitting at the Run A chess table, talking with Chai. And Chai, you just read this flyer that I've been giving out, Sing a Song, Go to Jail. A little inaccurate. It's actually Sing a Song, Pay a $445 fine. What do you make of this?
Foolishness. Arbitrary. Encroachment upon the individual rights. Violation of liberty. Fascistic. I mean, I can go on forever.
Aren't you being a little harsh with our lawmakers and our police officers? They're just trying to protect the sleep of those who would prefer not to hear uncomfortable songs on Pacific Avenue at midday.
I would say the second you walk into any of those private businesses that you have an onslaught of unsavory songs to begin with anyway, just being broadcast from the accepted radio rather than from actual independent individuals out there, you know, playing from the heart or the soul, you know, and for their own sustainability for the most part. So, I mean, public property is public property, and what the public does with that property, as long as they don't infringe upon the rights of the other, should be tolerated.
What about the right of the poor resident on the second floor to be able to sleep with her window open?
Well, I mean, obviously there should be some limitations to it in regards to, you know, time constraints and so on, and also just decibel levels. So, I mean, I can understand both sides of the argument, you know, and it's hard to say. Maybe specific areas can exist where they would have more liberty to practice, more liberty to play, you know, at times. I'm not sure. It's not really one of my areas, you know, so...
We've been talking with?
Huh?
Your name again?
Tai.
Thank you, Tai. And perhaps we'll see you there.
Absolutely.
Thanks. So the drum circle is a drum and looks pretty big. It's a little overcast. The sun sort of peaks in and out. And there's a... Is it White Eagle, I think? I'm not sure. Get in there and start strumming. We need some music here.
I can't do the drums. I got to protect my guitar hands. You know what I mean? Drums are for drummers. And
I hear you.
Guitar fingers are for guitar players.
So what is the quality of this drumming? Is it so-so, below average, up above? What do you think?
Well, you know, it's all about the heart, you know. It takes a little while to get the engines running here, and it gives everybody an opportunity to play and be tribal, man, because it's the heart of the soul of the heart, you know. It's been for centuries in every nation, I'm sure.
And, of course, we've been talking with...
Free Eagle.
Thank you. Free Eagle.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Well, it's March 27th, 2010, and I'm... wandering back to the...
Oh, you did?
Some old-timers are out here in front of the Free Radio Santa Cruz shindig. Looks like John Malkin and the infamous Louis...
And this is actually the long-lost tape for the Free Radio's 15th anniversary birthday party that we had, and I did a number of interviews, and I also received an honorary pie in the pusser, compliments of a guy who's actually running for city council, David Foster, who purchased this. It was a lottery. He won the lottery, and he won the thrill of giving me a piece of the pie. And David is a... he's not somebody I would vote for, I imagine, in the upcoming election necessarily, because, well, limited. I have to actually hear what his platform is. But he was one of the people on the Planning Commission who voted for putting a freezing out and banning all new medical marijuana dispensaries. And I just couldn't believe that, and I still don't. I believe it. I just don't, certainly don't agree with it. And it's part of the statewide prohibition effort that is happening under the guise of some kind of reasonable regulation. It has nothing to do with reasonable regulation whatsoever. Anyway, here's some more from this Free Radio Santa Cruz anniversary.
Hello, Fortune. John, what do you make of this particular party? Are you having fun? Are you dancing? I saw you have a relative here. Are you have a kid? What's going on? Tell me the truth.
There's so much going on. There's been pies, there's been trumpet solos, and there's been brand new T-shirt designs.
This is John Malkin, who actually has a show on Wednesday, The Great Leap Forward. You can hear his show. And if you want to check out other shows on Free Radio Santa Cruz, go to www.freakradio.org, and you can download the schedule of shows, which it's always changing, sometimes a little out of date, but generally pretty accurate.
But you're not wearing it. You have an old T-shirt on. You have a San Francisco Liberation Radio. There is no San Francisco Liberation
Radio. I know.
Are you crazy?
I am crazy. I'm wearing something that doesn't even exist.
Of the past.
I'm practically
it's
naked
like your
here.
Non-violence nonsense. Don't you realize? We're fighting a war against terrorism here. What are you doing? You're dancing away your life, for God's sake.
Awful. Vic Lubauer. Hank, do it. Where's my second hug?
I'll give you a second. Woman. She's mine, do you hear?
I licked his face.
You licked his face. That was my pie on my face. Now,
oh,
it was exciting. So, John, you actually got picked up the proclamation from Mayor Rotkin honoring the 50th anniversary. Did you speak to the Fuhrer? I mean, the mayor himself.
Well, you know what I did was I emailed Mike. He agreed to write this. I sent him some of the language. He put it in the whereas.
I noticed my name wasn't mentioned.
I did that specifically.
I see.
We don't want you to be too directly identified with the station. So we had you removed. And then I got an email from Suzanne Haberman.
Yes.
Who said, by a copy of the proclamation is there. Yeah. So I just went and picked it up. I thought he might be here. Obviously, he's not. I think he's in
New York visiting his father, so he sent in an email to
dubious
me.
Dubious.
Well, you know, last I heard, he went up to San Francisco to support the sit lie law that they're trying to pass up. They're making it illegal to sit on the sidewalks. Kind of
supporting that?
Yes. He created the same law in Santa Cruz, so why not?
My feeling is, I mean, now it's illegal to sit for more than, what is it, 2 hours on a bench or something?
It's illegal to sit for more than an hour on a bench or at all within 14 feet of a building.
I think that's too long. I think 15 minutes max people should be allowed to sit on benches.
You're a disciplinarian, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, an hour? That's,
what is this nonviolence? How do you enforce your discipline? What are you going to stare them out? Smile them to death?
It's all a front.
Kumbaya.
Kumbaya.
Yeah, right.
Thank you for turning me on to Mark Kurlansky.
Yeah, great writer.
I never came across him, and that book is so well put together.
And it's kind of compact too. We're talking about what is it, 20 lessons in nonviolence?
Something like that, yeah. I guess he's famous for these micro history things.
Welcome.
Yeah, it was a good
party
one.
Hardy. Kick down lots of money. All right.
All right, let's head back in.
Okay, we've got enough of it. We're talking with the infamous John Malkin. John, your show again is...
The Great Leap Forward, Wednesdays at 7 o'clock, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
101.1 FM. Outside the Free Radio Benefit of Kumbwa Jazz Center, we do have several pooches out front here. We have a pirate dog.
No, it's not a joke.
And what is the name of this dog?
My name is Sweetleaf.
And what is the name of the owner of this dog?
My name is Bones.
And Bones, that's your real name, isn't it, Bones?
Nope.
Well, why not? You call yourself Bones.
That's what people call me out here.
So, in a sense, it is your name because they call you Bones.
My name is Richie.
Which do you prefer, Richie or Bones?
Both.
Not very well.
Depends on who we're talking to.
Well, it seems appropriate. You came to a pirate function, and at least what people call you is Bones.
Yep, I am Bones when it comes to that sense.
Fair enough. What do you think of this pirate affair?
I love it. I love it. And I love it. I showed up for a reason, and it was to show up for a reason, man.
What was the reason you showed up?
Because I love piracy.
Fair enough. Thank you, Bones.
Beth, one of my favorite station on this planet is... My favorite station
yes?
on this planet is 101 The Freak.
Our station,
yep.
Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yep, yep, yep. 101 The Freak.
Thank you, Bones. We'll do a few interviews here. What is your name?
My name is Catherine Lewis.
And Catherine?
Yes.
And Catherine, what brings you to this affair?
Well, I'm part of the band Sweet Jam, and we are performing here tonight, and we're very honored to do so because we love Santa Cruz Free Radio.
And what is your role in Sweet Jam?
I am the lead vocalist, and I also play recorder and Native Indian flute.
Now, can you give us a tiny a cappella sample of the kind of music, preferably something from the streets, if you can, a kind of a, you know, gritty, down-home, or is that not your style?
I'm not really gritty.
Or perhaps a sweet, melodic,
that's
but still
more like, yeah.
pointed message to all
okay.
those. Yes, okay.
Every one of us is different. Oh, that's the main message, though. We are, and we are all one, too. That was also
sing some more, sing some more, if you want.
We are one. We are one. See, the dogs know it. They're perking their ears up, and they're about to howl with me. Come on, howl. We are one. Sort of the main message of our Sweet Jam music.
And how can people find Sweet Jam? Are you around town? Or
oh, yes, we are. And we have a website, sweetjamband.com. And we have our debut CD here tonight as well. And we're going to do a few songs from it. They're all originals, written by Mark McFadden. And I'm very honored to sing the songs.
And again, we've been speaking with
Catherine Lewis from Sweet Jam.
Hey, thanks, Catherine. So we're out here, I mean, we're in here in the Cumbwa Jazz Center, and Uncle Dennis is doing a raffle. They're reading off the numbers of the different tickets because there's pirate booty to be had. And the, you know, the house is, I would say, oh, a fourth filled. Got some great music.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, Dennis, you changed the can. I love it, man.
Well, thank you. We've been talking with again, your band is, of course,
Flor de Caña.
And you could be seen or heard at
Here, or we go over to Mo's Alley quite a bit, or Cypress Lounge, Catalyst, over the hill.
You got a website?
Yes, we do. Flor de Caña, Flor de Caña Band. And we're also on MySpace, Flor de Caña Band on MySpace and on Facebook.
And on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Well, we play there quite a bit.
You foolish man, you.
We do, except half the time we can't find you guys, but that's okay.
Well, that's because the power's out, as it is today, sadly enough.
Yeah.
Again, we've been talking with
Ivo Obregon.
And it was interesting on that evening in March, I guess it was March 27th, when we had our benefit, wasn't really a benefit, our birthday party, because it was free to anyone who didn't have any money. Although we did make some money, enough to pay, and actually a little bit more to make a little money in addition, the power to the station went completely out. So it was interesting. And also, I'm really sorry to say that I don't think anyone actually did a recording of all the different artists who played, which is too bad. But we kind of put it together on a shoestring, and we thank everybody who came.
Thank you, Ivo.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
All right. Now we're here at the shirt booth talking with
Daniel Sun.
And Daniel, how are the sales of the Free Radio Santa Cruz t-shirts, which we've invested so much money in?
The sales are pretty good. Everybody still likes the skull and crossbones. We still have some Ann Bonnies around. And there's a new design.
Look at the pirate booty man is coming up to claim his booty. One of my tickets, I suppose. I gave this guy some tickets. We'll see if he splits the prize with me. You're waiting to see if you can win one of the cherished pieces of booty.
Indeed.
And Thomas Lovett is opening his gold wrap booty. What's he going to find here? Lovett, as you know, of course, is the famous DJ who hosts the wake-up call in the morning. And what does he find but a bunch of wadded-up paper? No, what has he got here? Let's take a look here.
I don't know what I've
he
got.
He doesn't.
Yet.
He's still trying to open his rather tightly concealed. Wait, it's a set of goodness.
Pirate booty. From the pirate's booty thing. Sour cream and onion corn pop.
A cheesy bit of booty. Shocking. That's what all I can say. It's crunchies. He got crunchies.
All right.
Shocking. I take it you'll share them with me tomorrow morning.
Yes, I will.
All right. And you'll call me if there's a problem in the studio.
I'll call you if the studio is not online.
We're having power problems.
And unfortunately, the studio didn't go online by the next morning. This was a Saturday night. And so we didn't have a March 28th show, sadly enough.
In the studio today, Saturday night here. Thank you to
we always have power problems in this studio.
Ah, yes.
They're not powerful enough.
It doesn't get stopped the power of the people because the power of the people don't stop. That's right.
Yes.
Yes.
All
but
right.
Not the power of PG&E, unfortunately. Well, we're inside listening to Sweet Jam. We actually heard a little solo from the lead singer outside. And behind the shirt counter, sipping water and waiting for more booty reclaiming, is one of the men about free radio, John Malkin, about whom I've already said too much. However, John, let me ask you, how did you hear about free radio in the first place?
To tell you the truth, I went to early meetings with a group of activists in 94 talking about starting a radio station, and this one person had said he had some money that would help start the station, but he described a station that the rest of us didn't really want to be
thinking about. Tom.
Yeah.
What's Tom's last name?
Starts with an R.
Reveille. Reveille. He died. He died about 5 years ago.
Wow, I didn't know he died.
Yeah, he became increasingly disabled and died. He wanted it to be a completely libertarian station, including, you know, Holocaust revisionism.
Yeah.
I don't know, Klan cooking tips, things like that.
Yeah. He had the attitude that if people got their racist or sexist or classist ideas out verbally, it would release them from wanting to do it actually, physically. And so radio could be an avenue for liberating
kind
people.
Of a catharsis in the Greek fashion.
Something Freudian, I don't know. Jungian.
There were some large debates in the Ed Frey's office where the free radio meetings originally were held, right?
Yeah. Well, I was not a part of free radio when it very first started. Those meetings that we had with Reveille, it was a year later that the station started without him. 2 years later, I was listening to the station a lot, especially late at night. It was really weird, really interesting. V-Man was on the air. I remember calling in. My first contact with the station was listening to V-Man talk about dealings with Santa Cruz police officers. I had been on the police...
V-Man is Vinny, who was a mainstay of the station for many years. It was hosted even at his house for a while. Very passionate guy. I think he's comes back to town occasionally. He's from Philadelphia. And Tom Reveille was another figure who wasn't involved with the station, but who initially put a lot of energy into wanting to start a station. And I guess people got interested and had these huge meetings at Ed Frey's office. Ed Frey is the attorney who's defending Robert Facer in the Sinister Sidewalk singing citation next Tuesday, for those of you who want to continue to follow that situation, and who defended Becky Johnson will be doing her appeal of the decision, finding that you can't sing if it wakes up a sleeper during the daytime, and that's a $250 crime, or a $450 crime if you just pay the bail without going to trial. That's the way to avoid going to trial. You pay the pay the ticket. You go to trial, then you get a fine. Sometimes less than the bail, apparently. In any case, Ed Frey at the time was helping to host Free Radio and also to host the Cannabis Collective that had been set up by various folks in the It was called the Maple Street Collective, I guess, or at least that's one way of describing it. It was completely illegal, but completely tolerated. Nowadays, if you tried to set one of those up downtown, the Downtown Association would have your ass on a platter. That shows you how liberal we've become. So this was in 1992, 93 that this was set up. And there was a free radio meetings were held. Their free radio station was in the basement of that building for a while. And there was the medical marijuana folks who were completely, as I said, illegal under federal law, under state law. And it wasn't until 1996 that Proposition 215 passed, making it legal. Although Santa Cruz County passed a proposition, I believe, in 92 or 93, advising the county that by an overwhelming majority not to prosecute medical marijuana people. Here's more from John Malkin on the early days of free radio and his involvement.
Review board. Maybe I was on the board at that
96.
Time.
96.
Yeah. 96. Yeah. So I called in and said, hey, I...
And John Malkin's saying here, we kind of missed that because of the gap, that he was actually a member of the group that helped to start and then was one of the original members of the now defunct Citizen Police Review Board, which in its own way, in its own pathetically weak way, but at least it was trying to oversee the police department, particularly as it was killed by the Rotkin-Matthews Council in 2003. Malkin was one of the original members of the Citizens Police Review Board.
Some ideas if you want to pursue complaints or getting information or whatever. And that was my first contact with the station. It was with Vinny on his show, calling in. And then I thought, wow, I want to do a show. So I put together my sample tape of punk rock music that I loved from Los Angeles from, late 70s, early 80s. That was my first show. And then I started interviewing people. So that was in 97.
And did you ever have Sergeant Clark on the air to chat about his perspective on your police review board activities?
No.
I didn't think so.
Sergeant Clark was a very reactionary police officer who not only stole homeless blankets and laughed about it in their faces, who is the only officer who's actually ever physically assaulted me. He's now, I believe, a captain, Captain Steve Clark, at City Council in 2005. He actually twisted me around. I let out a shriek. And I kept asking, was I under arrest? Finally, Rotkin, who was apparently the person who was ordering the arrest, said, yes, you're under arrest. And I said, fine. And I went with the police officer. But before that time, anyway, Clark did his problems with John Malkin and said he had political files on Malkin and that he was actually pressuring. He hated the police review board, Clark did, and was trying to pressure Malkin into it's either keeping a lower profile or disappearing entirely from the police review board. And Malkin didn't do that, although we found that the leadership of the police review board under Kate Bowden was so pro-police or police-compliant that it was kind of pointless to be there. At least that was my impression in talking with Malkin at different points in the last 15 years about the whole thing. But, hey, you'd have to talk to John to really get John Malkin to get the clear view. But here's some more conversation with him at the 15th anniversary Free Radio Santa Cruz birthday party. Back on March 27th.
No. He, wow, what an amazing, crazy experience that was.
He's now Captain Clark, you know.
Yeah, isn't that great? When people do fucked up things in government, they get promoted and get salary hikes.
Particularly in our liberal progressive Santa Cruz, which gives a special award to Free Radio Santa Cruz, as Mayor Rotkin did tonight.
How did you like that? You ended up reading the Mike Rotkin Proclamation.
Well, I was thinking of pieing myself, actually, and saying, I am Mike Rotkin, and then just flattering myself with a pie.
Yeah, you could have done that. You know, I think I told this to you last time I was on your show. The day I moved to Santa Cruz in 1989, I met you at the Saturn Cafe when I was up on Mission. I walked in there. I was going to have a meal. You said, do you have a car? I said, yes, I do. You said, there's a protest at Lockheed right now. Can you give me a ride up there? That sounded great. There's Becky Johnson.
Oh, no, Johnson is not allowed in the free radio. Johnson
and
crashed the place.
Uh-oh. It's great. And
just sort of briefly an aside, Becky Johnson was disestablished as a Free Radio Santa Cruz member a few years ago and actually banned from coming into the meetings and banned from coming into the studios unescorted, primarily because of her opinions. That's my view, although she's got some perspectives on the Israeli government and Israeli policies that I don't agree with at all, and that probably a lot of people at the Free Radio Collective don't agree with. And she's written some stuff for some websites, but the kind of bigotry and hostility to someone who she said nothing about it on Free Radio herself. They rewrote history to ignore her as a loyal supporter, Free Radio Santa Cruz collective member. She describes herself as my producer. I've described her differently on my show, but she certainly has put a lot of energy into, endless amounts of energy into my show for the first, its first 6 or 7 years, and into the studio. She hosted the station at her residence on several occasions. For over a year. Not quite sure for how long it was, but it was, you know, at least a year, risking eviction, risking prosecution. And it's interesting. In the she's gotten no credit at all from in the 15th anniversary birthday celebration, or in the article that Malkin, the guy I'm interviewing, John Malkin, is a nice guy. I like him. He wrote a story for Good Times about the whole thing, and her name doesn't appear. So it's like, you know, it's like the blackout that Stalin used to do with, you know, the members of the Central Committee that he didn't like. You know, suddenly Trotsky disappears, Becky Johnson disappears. Well, she hasn't disappeared. She's singing songs on Pacific Avenue and getting arrested for it and essentially defending the rights of other people to do the same. And I commend her for it.
So I gave you a ride up there to Lockheed. We hung out, did stuff. Mike Rutkin was getting arrested up there. I gave him a ride home. That was my first day in Santa Cruz.
How strange. Foreshadowing of, I'm not sure what. Actually,
I'm not sure what either, but something big.
Well, you've been on to bigger and better things than this
for sure.
Small-time, petty
I agree.
City politics. Yeah, of course, you didn't, you know, in 1989 there was a lot of protesting going on.
Yes.
And you didn't get involved in that at the time. Right?
Yeah, hugely, right away. What I tapped into immediately was a Christic action team. Iran-Contra had just broken. We were having CIA, ex-CIA people to the Civic. Philip Agee at the Civic. Richard Brennecke.
Was Daniel Sheehan discredited by that point or not?
No, not at all. They were going really strong. They eventually did get sued by, like, countersued by the government because they had a lawsuit against 40 people in the CIA, National Security Administration. Department of Justice eventually said it was a frivolous lawsuit, charged them a penalty. Sheehan lost his office, his house, and kind of publicly was discredited at that point. But, I mean, those people, Robert Owen, Oliver North, I mean...
They became the talk show circuit folks.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of the Gordon Liddy's of the next generation.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, the Oliver North and the folks who were involved, exposed by the Christic Institute as part of the Reagan administration's plan to illegally fund the right-wing counter-revolution against the socialistic Sandinista government down south that was actually trying to provide all kinds of services for people in that country and was regarded as a Soviet tool when there was still a Soviet Union by the Reagan administration and right-wingers.
They're, you know, making $30,000 in lectures and stuff now, so...
Have you thought of perhaps hiring out yourself as a lecturer?
Certainly I have.
John can be reached at Free Radio Santa Cruz,
427-3772. Yeah, available for parties, bar mitzvahs, and weddings.
So, are you a singer, John, or just a talker?
I love music. Music is my first love, really. I play the piano. I regret I didn't sign up to do something tonight. I love playing piano. I love singing.
So, what kind of piano do you play?
Ever since I was little, I have improvised a lot. I love playing jazz, and I love playing classical. I love playing, I'm really into rhythm more than melody or harmony, for example. A lot of my music can sound like Philip Glass. It's slowly changing rhythmic patterns. And I love playing for 2 hours at a time. I do concerts around town, and I love playing, and it's kind of jazzy and kind of classical, but rhythmic pace.
Does it pay the rent?
Actually, for 15 years, it did. I did that at dance classes at UCSC, Cabrillo College, Motion Pacific, all around town for ballet classes, modern dance, contact improv classes, and they played drums as well. So teachers would say 5, 6, 7, 8, and I had to start playing. And yeah, I played for Tandy Beal and Mel Wong up at UCSC and performed with them. And I still write music for dance performances and perform occasionally.
So do you have any events coming up?
Not right now, but every year I try to do at least a few concerts. Like last year I did Cayuga Vault, Cabrillo College. I try and do a few concerts a year. And I have a new CD of music as well as this interview CD. I've done 15.
We're looking at the Great Leap Forward. This is a CD that you did for the Highlights from Free Radio, which can be obtained how?
Through Free Radio Santa Cruz or through me. My email is jsmalkin@hotmail.com.
M-A-L-K-I-N.
Yeah, all the profits from this go to the radio station. I designed it that way.
You have interviews with Amy Goodman.
Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, Laurie Anderson.
Nothing by Becky Johnson or Robert Norris.
Nothing.
Maybe that's the next one. And there's Uncle Dennis after the music.
Dennis really pulled this together, and I'm really happy about it. It's been fun, lots of great music, people enjoying themselves. We're selling some stuff. It's been good.
Dennis, do you have any quick kind of musical commentary that you wish to do here? To kind of, you know, we weren't able to get you on stage. How about a little a cappella kind of sing? Yeah. Give a little something, right? Just sing out.
La 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 la.
That's the kind of Dennis that I remember from the 8 o'clock show. Not what I heard tonight, though, on the stage, actually. And Louis LaFortune, you've been on the door. You've been working with Free Radio for how long?
I've lost track. It's in the mists of memory.
Really?
Were you 6 or 7 years, I think? I don't know.
You're getting tired of the station? Come on, tell me the truth.
You know, I have my enthusiasm comes and goes, but I always stick with it because Free Radio does what nobody else does. You know, we put all this stuff on, and I mean, your show, for instance.
For instance,
who else goes out on the street and interviews homeless people
and plays it hour after hour, enraging poor Uncle Dennis
after hour?
Finally, got him to do some music. Not very musical, though.
Not only that, incessantly.
You bring this. What about this chorus? Do these guys follow you around?
Occasionally, I gather a crowd.
Usually, just in his head.
Something like that.
The real voices, at least, you know, at least you're not hearing imaginary voices. So that's a good thing.
Right. Well, sometimes we have some imaginary people, unlike Mike Rotkin.
What happened? What was up with that? I thought he was supposed to be here tonight. Oh, he's in New York, I heard.
After spending some time in San Francisco supporting the sit-lie law in testimony before the Board of Supervisors, he apparently felt it necessary to go to New York. I told him, you know, to check in with Giuliani and Bloomberg and give us all the latest repressive word when he gets back. But he assured me he was only going to see his dad. So I kind of had to let him off, you know. What am I going to do, attack his personal life?
So is this a law, is this like named after politicians, the sit and lie law? Because that's what they do. They sit down at the podium and then they lie.
If it applied to politicians, I would support it. Unfortunately, it applies to the ordinary citizen on the street, as you know. And it was supported and passed by Mike Rotkin here in Santa Cruz in 1994, believe it or not.
I just heard about it, the San Francisco version. Probably on your show, but
they had a day-long protest in San Francisco on Friday where everybody was supposed to be sitting down in different places in the city. I don't know actually how successful it was, but it sounded like a good idea to me.
And there actually is a protest coming up tomorrow, a second day of protest in San Francisco. Sit Live protest. If you're interested, check out, go online. I guess one way to do it is to Google for San Francisco Sit Lie, which I'm doing right now, so I can find it and maybe give you a little update. Sit Lie Law. And it's, let's see, protests in San Francisco against the Sit Lie Law. Mayor to introduce two plans. Here we go. San Francisco stands against Sit Lie. Get exclusive content. Let's take a look here. Yeah, there are a variety of articles on this website. San Francisco stands against Sit Lie. If you want to go check it out, and I believe this is a whole series of articles. A number of commissions have come out against it. This is the law that says you cannot sit or lie on any sidewalk. That itself becomes a crime, with some exceptions. In Santa Cruz, we have a similar law. Originally, we had a law that was almost identical, which provoked such protest that the police engaged in rioting to stop them beating up people. Well, they one woman was hit in the stomach, and she miscarried. Another guy had his ribs broken by the police force of Steve Belcher, who was a previous, that's the real name of the former police chief, who's now named the new police chief, is Howard Scary. We have these... A comedian apparently chooses either the names or the the new police chiefs. I don't know. But in any case, I'm still looking for the website for tomorrow's protest. But I think Sidewalks for People, Part 2, April 24th, put your event on the map. And let's see here. Trying to take a look here. It's... Sidewalks for People is a monthly citywide celebration of San Francisco's public space, its vibrant and diverse culture, and its tradition of tolerance and compassion. People from all walks of life across the city will be doing what they love on the city's sidewalks. This is on Saturday, April 24th. Barbecues, chalk drawing. Becky Johnson was arrested for chalk drawing back in 2002 or 2003. Chess, I was also ticketed for that, with erasable chalk writing political slogans on the sidewalk. Yoga, reading... Not in San Francisco, but in Santa Cruz. Knitting, jump rope, playing music, painting, tea, coffee parties, sunbathing, meditating, DJing, hanging out, tai chi, hot tub parties, dancing, anything, you name it. It'll be happening all day in multiple locations across the city. People can post their events. Board of Supervisors will soon be voting on a law that will make it illegal to sit or lie on the sidewalk anywhere in San Francisco. We think it's really a bad idea to criminalize the act of sitting in public space. We think public spaces are safer when people are encouraged to use them to meet with neighbors, friends, family, and others from the community. We like how our sidewalks reflect the diverse, vibrant culture of our city. We believe in freedom of expression, the right to peaceably assemble, and the pursuit of happiness in our sidewalks. Ah, if only Santa Cruz did the same. We acknowledge and emphasize with legitimate fears and or frustrations that people encounter and regret that powerful media and business interests have taken advantage of this to push forward such a backward law. We're interested in a dialogue around real solutions. And then there's more on this website. What can we do for sidewalks that are for people, their organization, anything you want, be creative or not, doesn't matter, just be sure to have fun on the sidewalk. And that's going to be happening up in San Francisco. Sidewalks for People, Part 2, Saturday, April 24th. Who knows, maybe I'll go up there and take one of the seats on the sidewalk before they all disappear. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. Name of the show is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. Let's hear a little bit more of the 15th anniversary Free Radio Santa Cruz birthday party, and then perhaps a musical break, and who knows, perhaps your phone calls, 427-3772. A reminder, there is going to be a trial next week, Tuesday, at 1:30 in Department 10. That's the basement of the county building, where there's a courtroom of Kim Basket. A tisket, a tasket. You'll get bonked by Basket. She's the commissioner who's generally pretty preferential to the police department, although she may allow us to make an audio tape she has in the past, and hopefully that will be the case. We'll be able to have that available for appeal. Becky Johnson's judge, Judge Almquist, when she was tried for singing on the sidewalk last Friday, was not allowed to either make an audio tape or get a tape made by the court so it could be used for an appeal or and also as evidence in other cases because the same witnesses are going to be testifying. But who knows? Maybe the commissioner will be showing more judicial temperament than Judge Almquist did. We'll see about that.
That Santa Cruz, you may remember, in 1994. Were you a part of that protest, John Malkin, at Cathcart and Pacific?
I'm trying to remember. What was it at Cathcart and Pacific at that time?
It was Cathcart and Pacific was Ford's department store that had become a parking lot. Taqueria Vallarta, from the Cat and Canary, now Chianti.
Yeah, of course I remember that. I went to all the protests. In fact, during that time period, probably right about then, I was at the farmer's market every week with a Coalition for Police Review Board table collecting complaints from people and giving literature out.
And in May of 1994, this is the time that John Malkin is talking about, the city council had a month or two before passed their sit-lie law, the sitting ban, as I call it, which made it illegal to sit on all sidewalks in Santa Cruz unless you had a chair or unless you had an emergency or unless you had a permit, things of that sort. So the police that first studiously avoided ticketing anybody when we had some big protests in front of the bookshop Santa Cruz because one of the main pushers of this law was then City Council member Neil Coonerty, who's now a supervisor. He passed me in the hallway the other day and wouldn't even say hello, and I said hello to him. I was rather disheartened by that, but I bear up, you know. And then after this, the police initially ignored protests, they attempted to target, as police will, Food Not Bombs, the group that gives away food to poor people and serves in public places, showing the visibility, trying to make poverty visible. And when the police went after Food Not Bombs, activists and members of the community just joined Food Not Bombs to sit down, and the police started ticketing people en masse, and people started getting arrested for simply sitting there. And they arrested about 39 people, and then they finally gave up. And then they jumped up after they stood there for about the police, after the police were kind of holding an area of sidewalk in a triangular formation that was very peculiar. There was nothing to be held. It was just a square of sidewalk than what is now in front of Taqueria Vallarta on Pacific and Cathcart. It was then a vacant lot. The Ford parking lot had been torn down, and the farmer's market was held there or nearby in that area, which is perhaps where John Malkin, tabling at the Citizens Police Review Board table, saw it, the demonstration from. The police just broke formation and began beating people and left as they hit people with their batons. And that night, I think a couple of youths broke windows in either retaliation or as the climate steam heated up. No one that I know of was convicted of anything of that, and no police officer was disciplined for beating, as I said, causing one miscarriage and a broken rib and other problems. I actually got a call from one of the witnesses to that situation, Jerry Rose, who was my landlady way back when, in 1988. She owned a place on Cedar and Laurel, which I rented briefly. And she's writing her autobiography about Santa Cruz now. I wanted to get some dates, and I tried to give her some information about that time, at least as far as I remembered it. And she was a witness to that, I believe she was a witness to the blow that was struck that caused this pregnant woman to miscarry. And she was so outraged, she went up and raged the police officer, but she apparently didn't get struck herself. And the police officer who we attempted to get disciplined, the mayor then was Scott Kennedy. He refused to do anything about it. Mike Rotkin was on the council. He refused to do anything about it. You got to remember that when you hear these people mouthing their liberal bullshit. What they actually do in these circumstances is far more important than the platitudes that they trot out at election time or you know, when the media is looking and so forth. There's an interesting video called The Sit-Lie Law, which I'm going to try to have put online. It was made by video journalist and Community Action Board Shelter Project manager Paul Brindell, who has been around for decades. I've been on opposite sides of things with him and on the same side, but he made a good video, and I have a copy of it, which I've just retrieved from storage, and I hope to get it converted to a DVD so it can be uploaded and made available for the community to see, so they can see the kind of brutality that went down, the kind of absurdity that the city council promoted then and still promotes. I mean, actually, the laws are worse now in 2010 than they were in 1994. It's just a struggle, folks. Back to 15th anniversary at the Free Radio Santa Cruz's Kumbwa Jazz Center birthday party.
And whatever happened to all those complaints, by the way? I asked
I have them.
Have them in your closet.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, no.
I compiled the data and said, look, you know, it looks like this percentage of people who have complaints don't file them. This percentage are regarding sexual. These are, yeah, I compiled all that.
But the complaints never actually, but they went to the police department and they were all unsustained or unfounded?
Well,
or?
Some were, and I compiled that data, how many were, how many were not. Most of them were not, yeah.
But you they were forwarded to the PD and,
yeah, yeah.
And Captain Clark or whoever the hell was on there at the time did the research. Or
yeah.
Non-research.
Non-research, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the ideas I have for dealing with street performers who are being harassed these days is, see, they're using a new approach. They're using the unreasonable noise that they used to deal with Phil Free and Skidmark Bob. Initially, when they heard political songs they didn't like on the streets, they would do a disturbing the peace or even terrorist threats.
Really?
Yeah, Skidmark Bob was arrested for terrorist threats. The trouble with those charges are they're misdemeanors and allow for a jury trial. So didn't really seem to work too well.
No.
So now they have infraction charges about unreasonably disturbing noises that Becky Johnson, who we spoke with very briefly a moment ago, and three others are being charged with.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So what we do as a response is we ask police officers, we ask people to complain that police officers are not taking counter complaints to cite the person who is claiming unreasonable noise for false police report. Because, see, what the police officers are doing is they're saying, if we get a complaint, we will make you move or else we'll give you a ticket for unreasonable noise, which is a $445 ticket. So it doesn't really pay to fight it.
Right.
And also, you don't know if you're going to win.
Right.
But if you try and turn around and say, okay, this, you know, that's not unreasonable noise. That's a false police report. The police officers, the ones I've talked to, will not take your citation. So we think, just start filing complaints about every single time that happens. Not that it'll do a damn thing, but it'll be a record. A record. We can make a record of it. Maybe a CD.
Yeah, it's always hard to counter in that way. What comes to mind, too, is like that same period of time I went to the Nevada test site a bunch of times to protest nuclear weapons testing. And the native people whose land that is on would issue permits for people to be there, and they would stop the Department of Energy people driving around the test site and say, stop, can I see your permit from us to be here? And they'd be like, are you crazy? I've worked here for 30 years. We own this land. Actually, you don't. You're here in violation of the Treaty of Ruby Valley of 1863. Yeah, and it doesn't go anywhere. It's almost symbolic, but it is.
They could make citizen arrests, I suppose.
Well, they tried. I mean, that's kind of what they were trying to do. It didn't work. But I think persistence is important in those matters.
Well, you're talking to one of the more pathetically persistent people in town.
Yes, I would say so.
Well, with that cheery conclusion, I want to thank John Malkin for pouring out his heart and giving us, you know, a nice slice of his experience over the last two decades with free radio and around the town. Anything you want to say before we move on?
Thanks for coming. Love life.
A man of, well, a few words in some respects. Thank you.
And that was the birthday party that was. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org. My name is Robert. The name of the show is Bathrobes, Pierres, Broadsides. This show streams on freakradio.org, as mentioned, and it's also archived at huffsantacruz.org, huffsantacruz.org. You go there and you can hear dozens of old shows. Think of that. Show doesn't archive immediately, and sometimes some of the shows don't archive, and they have to be kind of later patched up. But if you have questions, or if you're interested in volunteering for civil rights work around homeless issues, or issues of civil liberties and police abuse, give me a call at 423-4833. You can do what the ACLU here doesn't do, which is actually pay some attention to abuses that are going on and try to find a way to organize against them. I want to remind you that the Americans for Safe Access are meeting, even as I speak, at the Loudoun Nelson Center. They're having an organizational first meeting in Santa Cruz under the leadership of Roger Minch of the Hemporium around rights for medical marijuana users. I encourage you to go to the Loudoun Nelson Center at Center and Laurel and check it out. It'll be going on until 8:45, so go and see what's cooking and let me know. I'll be back on Sunday. You can call in with a report if you'd like. Let's have a musical break, shall we? Campy, California, another John Phillips number from the Jack of Diamonds CD. Want to call in? You can, 427-3772. Here's some more recent interviews. In fact, I think these are actually, boy, these are from the last couple days. We're leaping ahead from March to this month, April. And let's hear some more street interviews. While we can, there's an interesting trial going on in Palo Alto of Victor Frost, which I may also talk about. He's a disabled guy who violates the sit-lie law in Palo Alto and panhandles very visibly and very publicly, sitting down on his own little seat on the main street in Palo Alto, which the good upscale burgers there have declared a crime. And he's the only person who's ever been cited for it, because he's the only one with the cojones not to move when the police tell him to move. And he's on trial, jury trial, for a number of citations up there. And I'll try to read something about that. That's Victor Frost up in Palo Alto. But first, a few more Santa Cruz interviews and a few more recent ones.
Well, I'm out. out here on the sidewalk in front of the Sub Rosa Cafe. And there's a gang of air-do-wells out here on the side. We're counting at least 12 people who are just lingering, sitting, who knows what else.
Loitering.
And loitering, certainly. We have a report of an arrest this morning from...
Shay.
Of course, this morning is April...
21st,
the day after 4:20. And we're about 10:15, or actually 10:45 in the morning. What happened, Shay?
They took my man. They took him from me.
What's your license, lady? And what was he doing that required that kind of emergency intervention?
Well, we were sleeping, and they woke us up and gave us tickets, ran our names, and he had warrants for old drunken publics.
How old were those?
Like over 2 months, 3 months.
And you say he and you have not been boozing it up lately?
No, not for 2 months. We have drink.
Where were you sleeping when you were so encountered?
The Galleria.
And where is the Galleria anyway?
It's right by CVS.
Oh. And was there a complaint, or did the officer simply say that he liked you so much he was seeking you out?
No, the officer was a dick. Security tried to wake us up, and I decided I'd sleep in 5 more minutes, and then they woke us up. They took him!
I know, I'm fucking scared.
How does everyone know already?
I almost got hit by a cop this morning in the crosswalk.
Oh, fell wrong.
We're talking with a potential victim.
Aaron.
And Aaron, what crosswalk and what cop?
I was on walking from the SC Motel on Ocean and Broadway, going towards 7-Eleven, and the sign, like the light was green, and it was a little white walkie dude, right? And so I go to take a step, and all of a sudden this cop starts creeping up, like he's gonna go around the turn. I'm like, so I point to the sign, and I was all, dude, there's like, you know, it's crosswalk time, and he just like stares at me like I'm doing something wrong. So I go to step again, and all of a sudden he like zooms around the corner, and I like almost threw myself in front of his car just so I could have been like, I was in the crosswalk. Walk, you know?
But you're like, going to sacrifice yourself in the interest of justice.
Yes, I would have.
What time was this?
Just now, like 10 o'clock maybe, so a half hour ago.
11 o'clock, actually. Almost 11.
Oh, okay. Well, it was around 10 o'clock.
And we've been talking with...
Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron. So here we are, huddling indoors at the potential Huff meeting, and I'm talking with...
Nathan.
And Nathan, you say you have a thrill-packed story for us?
It's not that exciting, but it was silly. We were, our friend Ian was walking. He was intoxicated, but he wasn't doing anything. He wasn't spanging. He was just hanging out with us, walking. He had three cop cars, probably about six cops descend on him, drug unit, everything, you know? And he made him sit down. I asked the cops what he had done. They said, back up, son, back up. And so I backed up and I said, well, what did he do? And they wouldn't tell me. They said, you can ask him when he gets out. And then I got their names and badge numbers. It was 121 and 164. Badge numbers, I can't remember the names right now. One of them was, what's his name, Winston? I don't know what his badge number is.
Where did this happen?
It happened right in front of the ASTI.
What time?
It was probably, what would you say, like midnight? Midnight, 10 to midnight? But then he was down on the ground, and they had him handcuffed, and he was sitting position, and they told him to get up. And he said he couldn't get up with his hands cuffed, so they grabbed him by his elbows and picked him up, which is extremely uncomfortable if that's ever happened to anybody, if you've ever had...
Do you get any idea why they approached him? What happened as they... Did they say anything?
No, they wouldn't tell me why they approached him. They wouldn't tell me what he was getting arrested for.
The victim was?
Ian Baldwin. He's a good kid. Really harmless, nice, great artist.
He was slightly intoxicated?
They wouldn't tell me anything about why. I would say he was intoxicated for sure, but he was harmlessly intoxicated. Definitely not like falling over, you know.
Was he asked any questions before he was taken into custody?
No. Just told to sit down, and his ID was run, and then Yeah, then he was arrested.
And these were officers who got out of a car or on the beat?
No, they were all in cars. Three cars pulled up on him. That's why I thought I was really surprised. Like, it was as if he had done something major, but we'd been watching him the whole time. And, I mean, it was busy, like, Friday night, and there were a lot of people, like, in front of the ASTI, you know, kind of being aggressive and stuff, but none of them were the ones who were targeted. It was...
What do you mean, being aggressive?
You know, how, like, just talking drunk and arguing with each other, and there was an argument that went on down the street right before, but he wasn't anywhere near that. He was about half a block away with us, and then the cop threatened to arrest me for talking, for asking him why he was arresting Ian, and I said, why are you threatening me? He's like, well, you're drunk too, and I was like, I'm not drunk, man, you know, and then I put my arm under my leg and touched my nose, and he didn't like that, but yeah, so, I mean, it's just weird, because I was just trying to have, like, a dialogue conversation with them, and then they had to just come and, like, threaten me, you know, like, well, we'll arrest you too, and I'm like, yeah, I know you will, you guys arrest me all the time for bullshit. But
when was the last time you were arrested?
About 2 months ago.
And your crime?
Public intoxication.
Was it a legitimate arrest? Were you unable to take care of yourself?
I mean, no, I was fine. But I mean, yeah, they arrested me. Some guy was trying to fight me, and I was drunk, and luckily I didn't get in the fight, but.
Would you give the police credit for helping you avoid the fight?
No. My friend Levi did that. That was already all diffused and over. We were all walking away.
Same officers or different officers?
That time it was Winston who arrested me, I believe.
So it was the same officer as this one?
Winston just showed up for this one. He wasn't actually the arresting officer. It was two other guys I haven't met yet. But, yeah. It was the short, bald Latino one. And then the kind of bigger, more full white guys, probably about 5'10", 5'11", 121 and 164.
You have any complaints about their behavior? You said, is this the nature of a complaint you're making? Because they're not obliged to tell you. They can claim it's the privacy rights of the victim.
Yeah.
One response to make in that situation is to say, Ian, can you ask them what you're being arrested for?
Yeah.
Did he ask them?
No, he just sat there quietly. He just kind of sat there and looked sad. But, I don't know. I mean, I guess it wasn't so much like, I don't know, like they didn't, other than the picking him up by his elbows, like, which was unnecessary for sure.
Three squad cars. Did they need three squad cars?
God, no. Didn't even need one. He wasn't doing anything.
It was impressive to watch, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was a good show. Good show of police force. And
maybe it's sort of a, I don't know, a preview of a TV series that they're working on for Santa Cruz.
Yeah, I don't know. It makes me think that they're just really, really bored when they start arresting people who haven't even done anything, you know, like, arrest-worthy. Like, I mean, people get drunk, you know, and, like, you know, half the people on the street out in this town are drunk any given time of the day, but I mean, until somebody starts, like, you know, fighting or getting in people's faces or, you know, those are reasons to get arrested. I mean, not walking.
You say half the people in town are drunk on any given day?
No, half the people out on the street are drunk. But half the people of the world.
So you're claiming that your confreres here are a bunch of alcoholics?
Yeah, I kind of become drug addicts, alcoholics. It goes with the territory of being an American.
She's not like a Chelsea tryhard.
Yeah. I mean, I just, like, you know, I just don't understand why they got to harass people who are just walking around. And
you never will.
Time.
That's the problem with your kind.
Waste, like, resources.
We've been talking with
Nathan.
Thank you, Nathan.
Yeah.
We have a comment from the Peanut Gallery. Your name, sir?
Well, I was in San Diego. My name's Warren West. The housing people there
kicked me out of my housing for washing dishes at 7:30 in the evening, and said I was a drug dealer because I had too many nice things. And then after I got out, all my things had been stolen and gone to the dump, and they said I was a drug user then because I had nothing.
Well, there you are. You see, you win both ways. You're getting the kind of attention you so richly deserve. You don't use drugs?
I don't use drugs or sell drugs, so...
You know, get a clue. Start using and start selling.
Yeah, I guess that's the reason.
There you go.
So, it's about, what, 4:30 already? No, 5?
We will adjust the speed so as to avoid difficulty in understanding, and we will continue playing. In the studio with me, however, I want to introduce my co-host and guest, the infamous song criminal, or maybe it's just rhythm criminal, Robert Blind Bear Facer. Hey, Robert.
Hey, how you doing, Robert?
And, Robert, you are going to trial on Tuesday, is that right?
Yeah, 27th at 1:30 in the afternoon.
And you, of course, were, of course, maybe you were caught up in the bad company. You were hanging around a bunch of guys with and women with signs, and they were singing songs back in January. What was that all about?
Well, I'm not going to actually joke about it. We went down there to protest the treatment of the homeless in Santa Cruz and keep us kind of like... keep the public attention on the fact that there are homeless and that there is some persecution of them according to the legal system. And we were singing for about 45 minutes some songs which were written probably along a course of several years, which made kind of a humor of police brutality. And
songs like Downtown.
I believe Downtown was the tune in one of them, and
it made fun of the laws and satirized the fact that the claims that the police were, well, I've sung the song a couple of times on free radio. You know, I don't know. Try and see.
I can't harmonize on that one.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the lyrics. Actually, I actually happen to have a copy of the lyrics right here.
Excuse me.
You go ahead, though, Robert.
Okay.
I won't belabor that now.
What I'm saying, you know, is it makes fun of the police at their absolute maximum worst that they could possibly be. And occasionally they come, you know, up on a scale of 4 to 10, you know, I'd say, you know, occasionally they'll hit 7 or 8, you know, but they're the thing is that we were attempting to keep the public interest on this, because if you let this kind of thing slide, the ultimate result, you know, could be like a fascism, where the police can walk in and tell anybody to do anything at any time. And so, you know, for doing this, we were given citations for unreasonable noise, which were basically untrue. We weren't hardly making very much noise at all. And the only reason that anyone would come in and attempt to stop us was because they wanted to stifle the ability of the citizens to express their political views in public. And so from this point of view, I think that this court case is very important, because if people are allowed to be treated in this manner, where does the end? I mean, how close can they come to whatever what point are the police going to stop?
So this is going to be at 1:30 on Tuesday in Department 10, the basement of the county building.
Yes, it is. I'm not looking for a tremendous amount of public turnout there. I'm not.
But you wouldn't complain if they did.
Well, no, I wouldn't. I would not. But the judge might. And
well,
so,
that's tough. It's a public trial. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah, it is. That's true. I don't want a contempt of court charge added to me. But if people want to come down there and observe, that's perfectly okay with me.
Well, you were observing Becky Johnson's trial last Friday in one of the courts upstairs on the same charge. Essentially, it was the same incident and the same facts. What did you see in that trial? And what was your reaction to Becky's trial?
Well,
describe what happened.
Becky was charged with unreasonable noise. The person who made the charge, John Riley, got up and perjured himself in front of, you know, the entire courtroom. He said we'd been there for 4 hours, and we had in no way been there for longer than 45 minutes. So, this can be overlooked. Somebody, doesn't read the time right. They forgot to look at the clock, and it seemed like that long. This is not a case to be prosecuted. But on the other hand, they said that we were making. They went on his testimony.
And also, he had the city attorney with him. He had an officer Schoenfield, with him, and also the same two officers and another city attorney showed up 2 days ago in the basement of Commissioner Kim Baskett, in another unreasonably disturbing noise case, that of Tamarack, the drummer, another drummer. You yourself are a drummer. He was a drummer that was apparently accused of the same crime. Likewise, before 10 o'clock in the evening, although yours was in the middle of the day, what, about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right?
Yeah, it was. I got there at 5 after 2. And the officer arrived on scene at about 25 minutes before 3. The tickets weren't probably written for another 20 minutes because there was a lot of, going around and around about it. But the officer, when she came, she apparently knew that she was going to be writing citations. Somebody had informed her of this complaint in such a way as that she was unable or unwilling to consider any alternative to taking us to court.
You know, it's interesting. I wrote this up. I've been following this case since we got the citations in January. I also got a ticket on that date for singing. And, I've never gotten a ticket for singing before. It's kind of a first for me. I've gotten tickets for all kinds of other things, but not for singing. And if you want to check out my whole take on the trial, go to the indiebay.org/Santa Cruz website. I'm going to show you how to do that too, Robert, so you can do that later.
All right.
It also gives Becky's account. Becky wrote an account of this. She has her own website, Becky Johnson, onewomantalking.blogspot.com. And of course, there's a very long, there's an article in the Sentinel that I didn't like it as much as a lot of other people did, but, it actually brings out the point that it was a ticket for singing, which is outrageous on Pacific Avenue, and it's outrageous that the judge found Becky guilty, or anybody guilty, of this particular crime. I mean, one can imagine opera singers singing so loud as to break glass, I suppose, or cause actual physical annoyance, but the basic ruling of Judge Almquist in the Johnson case was, if you are singing at midday and this wakes up someone who's sleeping in an apartment, that in and of itself is sufficient to call for a conviction for unreasonably disturbing noise. And to understand what this means, you actually have to look at the wording of the ordinance. I've talked about it at length on the air, and I've written about it. But the ordinance is vague, but it is also sets a very high standard for a conviction, because it says if you're doing something that is necessary in connection with a legal activity, even jackhammering, let's say, you're allowed to do it, even if it's physically annoying or disturbing, because that's the standard. I don't think the word loud appears in that ordinance, but it's so prolonged or so intense or so unusual or so physically annoying or disturbing in its time or place that, then you and it's also not necessary in connection with a legally permitted activity. None of this, of course, was met by there were two witnesses. There was one witness and then one woman who insisted she was not a witness. That's the police officer. But the key thing is, and this is something that Tom Noddy talked about, the activist who I'll have again on the air on Sunday, for those of you who liked listening to him last Sunday, he's pointed out they had a whole set of guidelines before the new set of kind of police laws were put into force, where people would just sort of agree, you know, they'd have a kind of a good neighbor policy with each other, we agree, if somebody doesn't like what you're singing, you give them an hour and then they can move on. Instead, they have now laws, and what happened here was the guy who was complaining and who's actually complaining against you testified in court, Sean Riley. He did not complain to any of the performers. He didn't. Do you remember hearing him complain to you?
No, he never said anything.
He never came down. He was actually supposedly in the window on the second story right above us. He could have called down. He didn't do that. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Uh-oh, I think that's a cutoff. I think somebody wants to talk to me just off air, and I'll get back to you, caller, in a moment. So we didn't know that there was a complaint until Officer Schoenfield appeared. When she appeared, we said, well, Becky, in essence, said, well, how softly should we sing so we can be legal? Because a second citation is a misdemeanor if it's done within 24 hours. That means it's up to a $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail. So it's a pretty serious offense if you take a second ticket. We wanted to know how quietly we should be, how quietly we should sing. That's what she wanted to. And Schoenfield refused to tell her. And then Schoenfield, apparently, according to her police report, said that she could not persuade us to sing more quietly, although we had stopped singing. And did you stop drumming at that point?
As soon as the officer walked up, everything was over. I mean, there, you know, nobody whispered, nobody said anything. The only comments of any sort was somebody said, film this officer with a camera, and somebody pulled out a camera. And that was basically all we did. We never, as far as we were concerned, the singing was over.
Right. I mean, there was some dispute and argument and questioning about what is the standard here. How loudly will we be allowed to sing? Because we are at a political protest. We do have a table with literature. We are trying to let people know about the homeless.
Well, yeah, you were, you and a couple other people were apparently more on top of it than I was. You know, I was in the position where, okay, you know, I'm being attacked by a superior force, therefore I quit. I'm running as fast as I can go.
Right. But we didn't, none of us sang. I mean, maybe if we'd sung to the officer, said, officer, how much can we, maybe that would have been better or worse or more funny. But we didn't sing. We asked really legitimate questions. And Schoenfield either misunderstood us or took our questioning to be a form of disobedience punishable by a ticket. And since you can't really give a ticket for questioning an officer, she claimed that we had refused to stop singing and told Sean Riley, this is according to her police report, he would not be able to get us to stop singing unless he filled out a citizen's arrest, which he then did.
I suppose, yeah, the officer's discretion at this point had a considerable amount of influence over the eventual outcome.
Right, and so, you know, it's interesting. We tried to get to put this on the record in Almquist Court, and the judge refused to let us make a recording so we could do a transcript. And even then, now we're still going to try to appeal. Becky's trying to appeal her case, and I'm supportive of that. And I'm glad that you are willing to fight this. And I guess you're going to try to get Ed Fry to take your case, right?
Yeah, I've well, I haven't actually. I'm actually contemplating doing that very thing.
All right. I'm scurrying about here. Those little crispy sounds you hear in the background are me trying to prepare for the next talk show host or DJ, what you will. Uncle Dennis should be coming in about 5 minutes. Robert, you're also appealing another case where you were convicted of sleeping outside without a roof, if I'm not mistaken.
I was sleeping on the beach over at the boardwalk, basically because I was my boat was parked offshore. They wouldn't let me land it on the beach. I was staying as close to it as I could, and they gave me a couple of tickets and different warnings for doing that.
You know, you came down here This was a canoe, a kayak? What kind of a boat was this?
Well, I've kayaked for years and years. I started kayaking way back in 1989, and I always lived near my boat in the wintertime. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know, my teddy bear or something. And when I finally got to Santa Cruz, in I think my seventh boat that I constructed over that period of time, they wouldn't let me land it. So it was sitting out in the water, and, you know, it was kind of emotionally draining on me to be that far away from what I consider to be my most valued possession.
Now, you're Amish, and so you don't use buses, you don't use planes, you don't travel by hitchhiking or by car.
No, I definitely try to avoid that. The exception that I'm most aware of is in the ambulance. And at that point, I refuse to ride in a helicopter. If they want to load me in a helicopter, I hope they don't need me for anything. I don't think that I would actually survive it. But anyway, and then, of course, the police car. If the police load you in the police car, there's nothing you can do.
Now, what about canoeing? Do you actually expect us to believe you paddled down from San Francisco to Santa Cruz on the Pacific Ocean?
Oh, yeah. It was different in a way because the coast, when you get south of the Columbia River, the coast gets worse, and it's harder to land a boat on the beach. I actually hiked about 400 miles of the coast on the highway, and then built another boat and got it out into the water, and was able to get it from San Francisco down to here. Yeah, that actually happened. It took years to build the boat.
But you say you had seven boats at different times?
I've had seven boats coming all the way down from Valdez was where I got the first one.
You mean up in Alaska?
Yep, in Alaska.
And this wasn't in the middle of the winter, I take it?
Well, no, it was in the summer. Back when the oil spill hit in 89, I was able to get a job working for a seafood processing plant because everybody else was working for Exxon Oil Company. So I wasn't making the same amount of money, but I was, I don't know, it was cleaner money.
This is really a fascinating story. My problem is I got 30 seconds before I have to yield it up to the ridiculous musical nonsense of our next DJ, who's of course the infamous Uncle Dennis, who's right behind you there. So if you want, Robert, you're welcome to come in on Sunday anytime between 9:30 and 1 and talk some more.
All right, excellent. I don't know if I'll be able to be there, but I'll keep that in mind. And it's been a pleasure being on your show and talking to everybody.
It's good seeing you again. I'll be seeing you in court, as they say, on Tuesday at 1:30 for criminal singing or drumming. Did you actually sing?
Well, actually, I didn't.
Can you play your drum at the volume you played it at then?
Well,
you have a drum with you, right?
Yeah, I do.
It's a little drum. It's around your neck.
Yeah, well, I was playing about like that.
That's pretty quiet. So you expect us to believe that would disturb the sleep of Sean Riley?
Now, wait a minute. I don't actually... No, I don't expect you to believe that it would disturb but you know, to say, you know, that he was being outrightly lying, that I'd have to find a reason for.
Yes. Well, you know, Sean Riley may just be a very, very light and sensitive sleeper. He says he works during the night, and so he needs to sleep during the day, and he may be very reluctant to go tell people this is too much noise. Instead, he calls the police, and they do it for him. And usually, I think what the police want to do is drive performers away. And if you immediately leave, I've heard this from other people, because they've seen Sean Riley in action. Apparently, the people they regard as, if they think it's Sean Riley. I had an interview with such a person. then there's no problem. But, of course, if you don't leave, you say, I want to play more quietly, which is legal, then you get into trouble. We're going to talk more about this on Sunday. Thanks for being with me on this edition of Bathrooms, Fears, Broadsides. And, Robert, thank you for coming into the studio. And in the meantime, give me a call at 423-HUFF if you'd like to join me then. And I remind you, Americans for Safe Action is, in fact, meeting as we speak at the Loudon Nelson Center. That's the first meeting of this chapter. So check it out, Loudon Nelson Center till 845.
Hellbound Train, a little Savoy Brown for you there to start off the show tonight. Uncle Dennis in here at Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.1, www.freakradio.org. From now on, it's called the From the Cream to the Dregs Show, and we play rock and roll, blues, and psychedelic, all that kind of stuff from the 60s and the 70s. And if you're looking for Robert, he ain't here. You're on Free Radio.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. What's up?
Hey, I got a question, man. How far do you guys reach out?
Well, we get to the north end of Santa Cruz.
Okay.
We get to the west end of Santa Cruz. A little bit in Felton, a little bit up the valley, San Lorenzo Valley, kind of spotty up 17 to the summit, and as far as the Buena Vista dump.
Okay, can I ask
But if you're in a hole, I mean, if you're down in the, you know, the bottom of Capitola or SoCal, you won't get us down there.
Okay, and how strong is your transmitter?
We transmit with an effective radiated power of 100 watts.
That's it?
Yeah, well, that's all we need to cover our the area we want to cover. If we, we're sort of in a balancing act here between being a civil disobedience and actually interfering with people. So if we had more power, we'd be interfering with people. That's actually a felony. We could get arrested for that. As it is, we're just merely illegally broadcasting.
Okay. Because I wanted to get something going in Hayward, man. I don't know how much power I can send out of here, though.
In Hayward?
Yeah.
Okay. You've got a different problem over in Hayward. Over in Hayward, you've got the problem that almost every single frequency is being used by somebody else.
Except for one, I found 88.3 that's not getting used.
Okay, but you've got a very powerful station at 88.5. So, and that's KK, what is that?
Oh, yeah, 88.5.
Yeah, that's the San Francisco.